You're listening to Culture Narrow Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat is Spanish football writer and podcaster Jack Benson. Jack Benson is the guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat. Jack drops by for a discussion of Atletico's first preseason friendly against Toluca, a goalless draw against the Liga MX side. We'll talk about Augusto's return, his first game in 10 months, whether Luciano Vieto's time at Atletico really has come to an end, and whether or not it's significant that Juanfran started the game rather than Chime Vrsaljko. Also, transfer news, including loans sorted out for Diogo Jota, Bernard Mensah, and Emiliano Velasquez, in addition to a debate on the merits of Atletico's new badge, new kits, and new stadium, and whether or not it's finally time for supporters to embrace the changes. Before we continue, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon, and you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Culture Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn, and make sure you leave a review and a rating on iTunes. We'll be right back after this. We've been doing these for a year now.
Crikey.
I know, it's been a fast year, I guess, because I remember when I did the first one with Robbie about a year ago, and now here we are. So, let us start with the first preseason friendly. Atletico traveling to Mexico to take on Toluca in that club's centennial game, their 100th anniversary, and, well, there just wasn't much to write home about. There just really wasn't much there, and especially, you know, for me, in Arizona, this was like a prime time game. This was 6 p.m. I got home from work, and I was able to watch it, but for y'all across the Atlantic, this was, what, 3 in the morning? This was happening?
Yeah, it was early hours of the morning.
Oh, man.
Really, really, you know, just kind of regret staying up for it. You know, when you just look back on something and just think, why did you make that choice? That's kind of what it's like.
We all make poor choices in life. I understand that. This was one of them. Yeah, it finished goalless, in case you didn't watch, and it really was quite boring. I can think of probably two clear-cut chances the entire game. One of them came in the final seconds.
From Vieto.
Yeah, for Vieto. Yeah. He had the chance. It was right there. And in Vieto fashion, he blew his first touch, and the ball just rolled away. Correa slipped him through so well, and he was all alone, onside, and he just lost the ball.
It kind of sums up his time at Atleti, really, doesn't it?
It really does. I think that may have been his last game for Atletico, because I wrote this in my Three Things piece after the game. There's a lot of interest in him around Europe, not just in Spain, but you have teams in Portugal who want him, teams in Italy who want him. It would not surprise me if he gets a move, perhaps with an option to buy, like in the next week or so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's still very young for a footballer at 23, but clearly it's not working out for him at the club.
So exactly,
he kind of needs to make the most of this opportunity to get a move away and kind of not necessarily salvage his career, but still
hit the reset button.
Go on to hit the heights that a lot of people thought he would, coming from Villarreal to Atleti.
Yeah, absolutely. The talent is there. We've seen it just in spurts. Like he needs somewhere to hit the reset button, and it's just not happening for him at Atletico. I don't think there's going to be a place for him. Those 45 minutes just kind of summed it up, unfortunately. And it's sad, because when he came from Villarreal, there was just so much. There was a lot of hype, and he had just come off a really, really good debut season in Spain, and he had the appendix operation, the appendectomy, like right after a Madrid derby, and then it screwed him up, and he hasn't really been the same since. It's kind of sad if you think about it, but it's just not working for him here.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite sad, especially, you know, like you were saying, he had such a good season, and then linking back up with Diego Simeone, it was all set up and there for him to really kick on and be great, just continue the form he showed in his debut season in Spain. But it's sad to see, at least he's showing that he's willing to not just stay at the club and kind of do essentially what Churchy did and
yeah,
allow the club to pay his wages and just kind of coast on through. You know, he wants minutes, he wants to improve. So the only way he's going to do that is by leaving, unfortunately.
Yeah, staying at the club would be a losing battle for him. Juan Fran started, which was another thing I wrote about, and I don't know how significant this is because it is just the first preseason game, but he was the starting right back. Vrsaljko came on, played the entire second half. He looked good. Was great to see him back. But do you think it's significant that Juan Fran played the first 45? Do you think the right back competition is more open than we may have initially thought?
Yeah, I definitely think it's open, especially considering in the build up to Vrsaljko's injury last season, he looked good. He looked promising, and he looked pretty settled, which was surprising considering the amount of players that join Atleti and in their first season, you know, really struggle to adapt and accommodate to what it's like to play for the club. But he kind of, not necessarily hit the ground running, but he showed that he was a very adequate cover for Juanfran, and even as the season went on, started to play more minutes and start a fair amount of games, and then obviously he got the injury, which really kind of set him back. Like you said, it was good to see him back on the pitch again. But I think come the end of next season, come this time next year, he will be the first choice right back. I think ever since the Milan final, Juanfran has just not really looked the same. That penalty has just really, it's made everything just kind of catch up with him now that he's 33. So I think come this time next year, Vrsaljko will be first choice right back.
Yeah, definitely. I think Vrsaljko should be first choice right back this year. I've made that argument before. As much as we love Juanfran, he just, and I'm not sure how much of it was down to the missed penalty, but he just wasn't good last season. Just not up to his usual standards, and he battled injuries. He's also in the last year of his contract, and it doesn't look like there are any talks about a renewal. It looks like, right now at least, that he's going to be leaving on a free next summer. I just think Vrsaljko is of a higher quality. He's, what, 8 years younger? He's healthy now. Really stepped in and was almost pretty clearly first choice in January. Like, when he finally got time. Yeah, then he got hurt in March and missed the rest of the season, which really, really hurt Atletico because it meant Lucas had to start it right back against Real Madrid, and Real Madrid tore him apart. So a healthy Vrsaljko really goes a long way towards stabilizing the back line, and he offers more than Juanfran right now. Based on his performances last season, he offers more going forward. He offers more with his dribbling, especially his crossing. Defensively, he needs work, but he really started to get there over the final couple months of his season.
Exactly, and I think defensively, a right back or even a left back can always improve through coaching. But yeah, I think that natural attacking instinct that he has and that ability to pick out people in the box, that's something that can't really be taught or coached into you. So having him be a little bit weaker on the defensive side, I'm not really too concerned about that at the moment, because that can be worked on. That is a skill that will improve over time as he gets more experienced, especially in, you know, Champions League semi-finals and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think Vrsaljko should be first choice this year. I mean, you want to keep all options open. You don't want to have your first team picked for you in the middle of July. But I do think it would be a mistake to have Juanfran as first choice this season. As much as we love him and as much of a legend as he is, he's just not at that level anymore. And Vrsaljko, when he's healthy, is. Juanfran will be immensely valuable as a backup, I think. But I think Vrsaljko's got to start. The last... a couple more things. Sergi Gonzalez got his first Atletico appearance. That's exciting for the Canterano.
Yeah, he looked pretty good, actually.
He did. He whipped in a really dangerous cross around the hour mark that Tomas nearly lashed in for a goal.
Yeah. I think, obviously, with Teo now obviously gone to Real Madrid, there's really not a lot of cover at left back, with Felipe Luis now another year older. He had a fabulous season last year, but he was quite fortunate in practically the opposite of Juanfran. You know, avoided injuries, stayed healthy for the whole year, And I think we need to get to that point now where Felipe Luis can kind of be given a week off and, you know, be rotated slightly to be able to essentially prolong the use that the club gets out of him. And I think Sergi has shown that he can be a very useful option. I mean, obviously, it's difficult to judge against a club like Toluca, but he's something that the club needs, and especially considering he's come through the cantera, he will bleed Atleti. He will give absolutely anything for the club, much like Koke, Saul, Gabi, etc., etc. And I think that's something that going into the new stadium and, you know, the whole issue with the new badge, and not necessarily a crisis, but there's certainly a lot of divided opinions on the identity of the club now. Mm-hmm. Having as many canteranos as we can in the first team squad will be very beneficial.
So you think there's a chance that Sergi makes the first team and he is there when the season starts next month?
I don't really think there's much choice, because I think Lucas should stay as a centre-half option. I much prefer having him in the middle as opposed to on either of the flanks. So I think that area of the pitch, the left-back area, needs to be looked at. And obviously with the transfer ban, Sergi is kind of the only option there. So, yeah, I think it's a very real possibility.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of with you on this, because I've brought up a few times in my writing that, you know, Felipe is the only natural left back in the team, and he's 32, and we saw what happened to Juan Fran in his age 32 season. Like, it's a concern. You know, Lucas can play left back. That's where he, you know, when Atletico first brought him up from the academy, that's where he was playing. But Lucas has been shifted more towards center back. That's what Simeone and is trying to make him into, you know, a center back and Godin's partner, which I still think he will be this season. For this season, I think Lucas as Felipe's deputy could be fine, but if you're going to play him at left back, you have the injury-prone Jimenez and you have Stefan Savic, who has no pace, pairing with Godin, and we saw the Godin-Savic pairing last season get ripped apart a few times because neither of them has any pace. So I would rather have Lucas play at center back, really. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Sergi. I mean, he's just a kid, but he looked pretty good in this game against Toluca. We'll see how many more chances Simeone gives him over the next couple weeks of preseason entering the new season. He's certainly an interesting option, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's something different, and I think that's what we need, because, okay, a lot of these players within the squad are you know, known for their versatility, particularly across the midfield. This is a guy that for Atletico Madrid B, and also when he was on loan at Maja de Honda, has played left midfield, right midfield. So he can certainly do a job in the squad. And I think against kind of weaker opposition, and particularly at home, it will provide us with the option to rotate players that wouldn't normally get an opportunity to be rotated. And when it comes down to the latter end of the season, that's going to be so beneficial. So, yeah, I think he should be in the squad. But, like you said, whether he will be, that's something that we'll need to kind of gauge over the next few weeks of pre-season.
We'll see how much time he gets in the Audi Cup in Munich next week. And at any rate, I agree, Simeone has to rotate more this season. I've said this before, that the registration ban presents the new circumstances where if Simeone plays it like he's played it the last few years, Atletico are going to be just out of gas by February. He's got to be able to rotate this year. And, like, no question. He's got a second unit that is capable of doing damage. I want Gaetan and Gamero to be better this season. They will be part of the second unit. And Jimenez will get a lot of time. Tomas is going to get a lot of time. Tomas got the number 5 shirt, which surprised me, and it's a great sign for his future and for how Atletico view him. So those guys are all going to get time this season, and it looks like, and that's going to be crucial because reinforcements won't come until January.
Exactly. So we need as many players as we can get who can do a job and provide cover, because no one's expecting Sergi to come in and play, you know, 1,000 minutes plus.
Right.
But it will be useful for him to have that option. And I remember it was after the Copa match against Huijel.
Yeah.
And a lot of canteranos got minutes then, but then they kind of just went back into to kind of the void, and weren't really heard of again in terms of the first team. So I think that's something that Simeone does need to address, is just bedding players in from the Cantera slowly, and just giving them gradual increases in minutes, kind of month on month, season on season.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find there. You could find someone, dig out someone really valuable there, and the Cantera being kind of neglected over the past 2 years is one of the reasons why Teo has decided to up and leave for Real Madrid. That's one of the reasons why, is that Simeone hasn't used it aggressively like he did when he first arrived at Atletico, you know, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing from the preseason friendly against Toluca was Augusto's return. First time in 10 months he has played. The 31-year-old tore his knee against Depor in September, and he finally returned. He started, played 45 minutes. Simeone was very complimentary after the game, said it was the result of a lot of hard work that he got back to this point, and he's going to be crucial this season.
Yeah, well, he will be. He was very much missed, particularly Champions League semi-final against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Having someone with the intensity that Augusto offers, it was quite clearly missed, particularly in the first leg, when the whole team was kind of not at the races for the first half hour or so. And I know it's really cliche, but he will be like a new signing.
Exactly. Because
obviously, being injured in September, we literally had him for a few games. So with the registration ban in place, it's so critical that he comes back strong, fully fit, with minutes under his belt from this preseason, just ready to really kick into the start of the La Liga season and really hit the ground running.
He played 143 minutes last season. That was it. And later in the season, it was so obvious when Koke and Gabby needed a rest. They couldn't get rest because Augusto wasn't there and Cholo couldn't rotate like he wanted to. So having Augusto back will be, a healthy Augusto will be huge, really important for rotation, especially as Gabby turns another year older. Koke and Saul, giving them a lot of rest, especially early in the season, will be really important. And you'll have Tomas there. You might have Matias Krunovic there, although he might go on loan. We'll see what happens there. So there are, for now, there are options in central midfield that Cholo didn't have last year. So that's encouraging, I think.
And speaking of Koke and Saul, obviously last season for Atleti, Saul played a slightly deeper role than he's kind of accustomed to, and kind of a lot more reserved, whilst Koke was creating a lot of chances and really getting on the ball a lot. But then in the European Under-21 Championships earlier on this summer, we saw Saul play quite high up the pitch for Spain, and he was incredible and so deadly and just lethal. So I think having Augusto back in the team will allow and give that freedom back to Saul to really do damage again.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. His performance at the Euros shows how huge a weapon he is when he's allowed to just, when he's unleashed and just allowed to go forward with like reckless abandon. Having someone to clean up the mess behind him and Koke could really unlock his potential. I've always said he's better in a midfield three than he is in a midfield four, because he has a lot more freedom as a box-to-box type of player. He's so dynamic.
Yeah.
So having Augusto back definitely helps that. It allows more flexibility tactically. You know, I really do think we're going to see more 4-3-3 this season. I think this is kind of the make-or-break season for it.
Yeah, and obviously there were reports within the past few days of Diego Simeone supposedly agreeing a one-year contract extension with Atleti. We can't continue with just the constant 4-4-2. It has been successful, but the whole point is that you need to be constantly adapting, learning, evolving to kind of stay ahead of the curve. And last season, and even the season before that, there's two clear examples, both of the home games against Villarreal, where a 4-4-2, where it's very compact and not a lot of space between the lines, it just doesn't work, because when you have a team that's so well organised like Villarreal, they can hold you out for most of the game, and then when it's too late and you're left throwing everyone forward instead of doing it in a kind of controlled manner, they then exploit all of the spacing behind, for example, Bakambu scoring at the Calderon last season.
Yeah, that game made me so mad. Okay, Atletico outshot Villarreal like 20-6 or something and lost 1-0. And it's, Villarreal always do that to Atletico, so it's not too surprising. It still made me mad. But yeah, like you said, Cholo has tried it the last couple years. It just hasn't really taken hold. I think it's got to this season for Atletico, especially with mostly the same squad. For them to succeed, they're going to have to change things up. And I think Simeone knows that, at least on some level. I think he understands he understands that the style of play has to change. It has to continue to evolve. Keeping things the same, it only lasts so long. So we'll see how that goes. But speaking of the new season and the upcoming season, the fixtures were released last week amidst some controversy, as there was upheaval in the Spanish Football Federation, as Ángel Villar is no longer the president of the Spanish Football Federation. That is exciting news. He had been president for 30 years and had overseen the corruption and calcification of that entity. So he's now in jail. He's also resigned as the vice president of UEFA. That was just such a stealth operation from the Spanish police, from the civil guard. That was just surprising to me how they finally did it. And I'm glad it happened, though. It was very surprising.
Well, the best thing to come out of it was the Federation's excuse for delaying the fixtures.
Yes.
I don't know if you either heard it or seen it, but basically they had to delay the fixture announcement. Obviously, they originally postponed it when the news broke of VR being arrested. There wasn't a date set for the fixtures then. And that was basically because the Civil Guard had, when they raided the Federation's offices, had obviously taken all of their computers as evidence.
Yep.
But they needed the computers to draw the fixtures, so that was quite funny.
Yeah, I remember seeing the announcement they were going to postpone. I'm like, well, for how long? Like, the season starts in 3 weeks, let's go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that they actually managed to get it done on the Friday.
It was a very fascinating timeline of events there, but the fixtures are out, and Atletico have the first three games of the season away as the Wanda Metropolitano gets finished. It won't be finished till after the first international break, so we're looking at another 6 weeks or so. But Atleti open the season against Girona, newly promoted Girona, in their first La Liga game will take on Atletico. Then away to Las Palmas, away to Valencia, and home to Malaga. That looks as if it will be, unless the first Champions League group stage game is at home, it looks like Malaga will be the first team to visit a stadium called Wanda.
Well, I mean, last time they were at the Calderon, it was a pretty eventful game. It was the 4-2 with Savic getting a red card, wasn't it?
Yep.
And that kind of ended Savic's season right there and then. He was never really the same.
Bingo.
The same player from that moment on. He just wasn't really sure for himself. I mean, it'll be interesting going to Girona for the first game, because last season we started against Alaves and Leganes, two newly promoted teams, really struggled, kind of scraped two draws. The Alaves game was a little bit unfortunate, but you know, it took a 91st minute Kevin Gamiero penalty to even put us in the lead,
and then like 30 seconds later,
it will be interesting to see if the players are, I don't really know what word to use, I wouldn't say motivated, but up for the game.
Locked
because I
in,
think
yeah.
that was the issue last season, where we were playing a newly promoted team coming off of a preseason that had gone quite well, and the players just kind of, they seemed on the pitch like they could just walk it and it would be kind of a stroll in the park, and they weren't really prepared for Alaves coming out and giving their all, which, I mean, you would have kind of expected from a newly promoted side to do to start the season. So I think the players need to up their game for the first game of the season and kind of start as they mean to go on.
Yeah, because those first two draws pretty much ended any hopes Atletico had of winning the league, like, right then and there. Like, that's just it. You can't drop points to teams you should be beating like that. And scoring just one goal against Alaves and Leganes and picking up 2 points from two games, already 4 points behind Madrid and Barca, like, that kind of ended a strong title challenge right there. and it's going to be even more interesting this season.
It didn't even just end the title challenge, because after the Leganés game, we had Antoine Griezmann, you know, coming out and saying in an interview, if we carry on playing like
we'll be relegated.
This, we're going to be relegation contenders. That's not something that you want to be hearing from your star player two games into a season. You know, the amount of disruption that would have caused inside the dressing room would have been incredible.
Yeah, let's hope we don't hear any more fun comments like that following these first few games. It's going to be interesting because the first three are away, four of the first five are away. Atletico are going to San Mamés in the fifth week of the season. That's always a challenge. It's San Mamés, then Sevilla back to back, although Sevilla is going to be at home. The Madrid derby is in week 12. That's at the Wanda, of course, at the Bernabeu for the return derby. Then the week after that, Atletico to Levante. It's good that we're getting our loss to Levante out of the way early rather than saving it till the end of the season. Just get it out of the way now.
That's always the game that when the fixtures come out, it's always the game that I dread seeing the most.
I hate going there. Atletico never, ever do well there. Ever.
I think it was 2007.
Last time they were there.
My head was the last time we won.
2007. So that is
shocking, really.
Yeah, that's the week after the Madrid derby. That's match day 13. And otherwise, though, it's, you know, all the teams are here. It's a pretty standard schedule. Again, the thing that instantly leaps out at you is the first three are away because of the new stadium. Villarreal have to play the first two or three away themselves because La Cerámica is getting renovated. So at least Atletico aren't alone in this. But
yeah, aren't alone in the shocking time management of Spanish construction.
Yeah, didn't Gilmarín say it would be done by the middle of July?
Yeah,
and look, it's the end of July, and it's not really close to being done. 6 weeks to go.
Right, although there was a picture going around on Twitter, I think it was on the day that the fixtures were released, and it was of the new San Mamés 6 weeks before the start of the season, and it looked kind of worse than the one the Metropolitano does at the moment. So at least there's that.
Hey, that's saying something.
You know, there's still hope.
Because you would not expect that.
No, exactly.
Because Athletic have like always had their ducks in a row. Atletico don't always have their ducks in a row. That's kind of shocking to me. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it looks like it's coming along. I will say that it's coming along. It's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome stadium and an awesome experience. I'm looking at pictures of the roof right now. It's stunning. The exterior still needs some work. You know, they still need to put all the seats in, but it's going to be a really stunning stadium, and it's going to be a game changer for the club. And you know, regardless of whether you approve of the stadium, of the move or the new badge or not, these are all changes as part of a new era for the club.
And I think what needs to happen is it needs to be embraced. Because as great as the Calderon was, it was kind of falling apart a bit towards the end.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that can possibly happen right now is something similar to what's happening at West Ham. I know, you know, completely different levels in terms of the size of the club, the players, and the funds available, and whatnot. But the change in the stadium, just the change of the regular match day routine for fans. It immediately unsettles them, makes them nervous, puts them on edge. And we've seen a lot of quite ugly scenes over here in England from West Ham fans fighting in the stands, being forcibly removed by stewards. And it's just kind of created this toxic atmosphere. And I know there's been a lot of heavy social media campaigns rejecting the new badge and whatnot.
Like the Frente wants a boycott.
But, yeah.
And that kind of sums it up.
It needs to be embraced. I can understand when it was first announced, the new badge, being upset, annoyed, angry, etc., because it was, you know, that badge had created history and a lot of history. But you need to move forwards and continue building.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of gotten really tired of the badge does not change campaign and the threats of a boycott, like I just said about the Frente, and the continued complaining about Atletico leaving the Calderon. Look, the Calderon was, it was a magical place. It was, it really summed up Atletico's identity as a club, but now Atletico are trying to forge a different kind of identity. They're trying to expand their international presence, expand their brand. And I agree, it does need to be embraced. It doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do the players or anyone at the club any good to boycott or to, you know, whistle at the new stadium. It doesn't do anyone any good. The Wanda, it's home. It's going to be home. You know, the supporters need to make it home.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm optimistic that they can do it, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all going to be at the stadium to watch Atletico. So I'd like to think that after, and the initial period is going to be like a feeling out period, but I think pretty quickly the fans will come to realize that, hey, this is not so bad. This is a stadium that is going to be on par with the Bernabeu and Camp Nou, and as one of Europe's great stadiums. This is going to be on par with those in terms of like a match day experience. I think it'll be embraced at some point, but we've been hearing for 7 months this crap about the badge and the new kits especially. People hate the home shirt.
And like, the only thing I dislike about the home shirt is those bloody diagonal slashes.
The slashes.
Get rid of the slashes. Like, I don't care about the new badge or anything like that, but it's just the slashes. I don't understand why. It looks like a dog or a wolf has, like,
just torn into
its claws and just torn through the shirt.
I will give them points for ambition. It's a bold look, I'll say that. But it's been pretty negatively received. I gotta say, though, the away kit is beautiful.
Yeah, the away kit is
gorgeous.
Top-notch.
And then the third kit, apparently, it hasn't been released yet, but it's navy and pink. Footy Headlines had the leak of it. That looks really nice, too.
Yeah, that's a bit similar to... Napoli had a similar one quite a few years ago. It was the kind of, like, camouflage.
Yeah, kit, but it was kind of like a denim.
This time, obviously, it's navy and pink.
Yeah, it was kind of like a denim, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
but it's going to be cool to see that third kit. Can't wait to see it. But yeah, at some point, we all got to come together here, because we have the Frente and the groups affiliated with them trying to, you know, just drive a wedge through the supporters, and like, we need to come together on this. Like, I get that it's a lot of change in a short time. The new badge, the new stadium, new shirts, new mascot, probably a new club hymn, a new song. It's a lot of change, but... You know, as much as I don't really want to give Cerezo and Gil Marino a lot of credit, the change is it's for a reason. You know, it's about progressing as a club, and that's what these changes pretty much entail. It's not to piss off the fans; it's to keep moving as a club. Although that is kind of a byproduct of it, just pissing off all the fans.
Yeah,
all right, let's talk about some transfer stuff before we get out of here. Atletico have started to thin out the herd, so to speak. A few loans have been confirmed in the last few days. Emiliano Velasquez was confirmed on Wednesday. He's going back to Getafe, a third loan at Getafe, who have just been promoted from Segunda. He will be there for the next season, and if Getafe stay up, there's an option to buy. So, assuming Getafe stay up, which I think they will, then Velasquez probably be a permanent Getafe player. And yeah, he never really factored into Cholo's plans. Atleti got him in, what, 2013, I want to say?
Yeah, 2013. Then he went on loan to Getafe 2014, and then it's just been on loan ever since.
Yeah, he's never really been a factor in Simeone's plans, especially with the progression of guys like Jimenez and Lucas. There's just been no place for
I just can't believe that he's still only 23.
Yeah, I know. We've been hearing about him going to Getafe forever.
He seems to be around for ages.
Yeah, but it looks like he will be moving away permanently if Getafe stay up, so wish him the best. Bernard Mensa, you remember him from...
Guy that vomited in athletic training.
His very first training session. Yeah, his very first training session he threw up, and that pretty much confirmed his fate under Simeone.
Yeah.
The Mendes client is on his way to Turkey. He's joining Kasımpaşa in Istanbul. So that's his third loan move in 3 years. He's just going to be getting loaned forever, I think.
Yeah.
I still don't know how or why Atletico got him. I think like they did it as a favor to Mendes. That's still everything with Mendes is kind of murky. But you know, this was just totally a favor to him, because he was like never ever Atletico quality.
No, he wasn't. He came from Portugal, didn't he?
He came from Vitória in Portugal. So that's his third loan spell. But the one that really surprised me was Diogo Jota. Now, I'd said before that Jota may have been good enough to get a place on this year's Atletico team, at least for the first few months. He was pretty good in Portugal last year. He played for Porto. He was played in the Champions League. I mean, he is young, but he showed a dynamism in attack. He can play as a winger. He can play as a forward. I thought Simeone could find a bit part role for him, but not the case. He's gone on loan to Wolves. Like, wow. He's gone on loan to the Championship.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's similar to the Ruben Neves deal to Wolves. Yeah. From Porto. There's a lot of blurred lines and kind of murkiness surrounding Wolves and what's actually going on behind the scenes, because Jorge Mendes is very much involved at the club.
Yeah, he's got Nuno managing them too. He's a little revolution there.
Yeah, he's got a little boy band going on there.
He does. There's a little Portuguese boy band. So Jota has gone on loan to Wolves, because why not? He's going to be there for a year, and yeah, his future is probably kind of uncertain now. It's his second loan spell, and I really thought that there may have been a place, as small as it was, I thought there may have been a place for him this year, but I suppose not.
It's like going back to Sergi at left back.
Yeah.
He would just offer, one, the ability to cover a lot of different positions whilst only taking up one squad place, and two, allowing players the chance to rest.
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows how much of this was Simeone saying, okay, I don't want him, and how much of it was Mendes saying, you know what, let's go to Wolverhampton, you'll love it there. Yeah, we don't know how much of it was Simeone-influenced or Mendes-influenced, but whatever the case, it's, you know, official, he's going to be there for a year, and, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on him and see how he'll probably tear up the Championship. Like, he's too good to be playing there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably just totally tear it up. The last thing, I feel like we have to talk about it on every Colchonero chat, Diego Costa. We have to talk about him on every single podcast because it's still not done. it's been...
Well, the question is now, will it get done?
Yeah, this is why we have been pretty careful at Into the Calderon not to say it's imminent, because it's not imminent. Because now there are these whispers that Milan might make a bid for him to sign him permanently, that Besiktas are interested in signing him permanently, Inter want to sign him, because Atletico just have made no movement. And I don't know how much of it is, you know, the negotiations with Chelsea aren't going well, but he's not an Atletico player yet. And until he is, you know, there's a chance he goes somewhere else, that Mendes takes him somewhere else. As badly as he wants to come back to Atletico, as much as he has said Atletico are the only place I want to go, Mendes is his agent, and Mendes can put him anywhere he wants. That's why it's far from a done deal, and now we're moving more toward if rather than when. It used to be when rather than if. It's now the other way around, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, there were reports as well that Atletico are going to give it 2 more weeks of negotiating with Chelsea, and if nothing was finalized by then they were going to turn their attention to other targets. But who are those other targets?
Exactly.
Are,
what I, other
I'm
targets?
Not entirely sure.
Like, what other targets?
Because obviously the only other targets that were kind of sounded out before the transfer window officially opened at the start of this month were Sandro Ramirez and Lacazette, who have both gone to Premier League sides. So I don't really know who else is out there for us to sign.
And like, whoever you sign is going to have to wait till January, wherever they are. So I don't know if there's a mystery target that no one knows about. I don't think there is. I don't think Atletico are thinking that far ahead. But what I do think is that we've reached kind of a stalemate here with Chelsea and Atletico. Both sides think that they have a tremendous amount of leverage. Chelsea feel like, you know, we've already signed his replacement. We feel that we can hold out for $50 million, especially in this market, because the price is being quoted for these other strikers, like especially Mbappe. Like, he might go for a world record fee. So Chelsea look at that and say, Diego Costa is a world-class striker, and he's a decade older than Mbappe. We are absolutely entitled to hold out for $50 million or more. Whereas Atletico are saying, Costa only wants to come back here. He's tanked his value. We think he's tanked his value. We want him below market value, like outrageously below market value. Do you think either side is correct? Who is more correct, would you say?
It's difficult because obviously those on the Chelsea side of things will feel fully entitled to keep Costa for as long as they want and demand the fee that they feel is his valuation. Whereas obviously us on the Atletico side of things, we kind of see it as not necessarily holding him against his will as prisoner, but you can clearly see that it would be best for him to get a move out of Chelsea. And the only place that he's came out and publicly said that he would want to go to is a return to Spain and to Atleti. But it's so difficult to negotiate with Premier League clubs in terms of buying players because they have so much money. They, you know, Chelsea could easily afford to, if they wanted to, stick Costa in the reserves until the end of his contract, and then he could go on a free in however many years' time. I don't actually know how long his contract with Chelsea lasts.
He's got two more years.
But obviously, they're not going to do that, but they could. There's nothing stopping them from.
And unless Atletico up the bid, there's not really anything stopping them from sticking him in the reserves.
Atletico aren't really in a position to complain here, because the only way he's going to become a new signing is if they stump up and pay the amount that Chelsea feel he's worth. There's no way to kind of beat around the bush here. That's the only way he's going to sign.
I get the waiting game. Yeah, I get why Atletico have decided to try to wait, but it's not working, all right? And there's still a month in the window.
For so long. And now that there's these reports of the Milan clubs being interested in him, you know, if Chelsea don't care who they sell him to, as long as they get the fee that they want and are asking for, they could send him to Qatar for all they care.
Yeah, as long as they get the money for him, because Conte doesn't want him, they don't want him anymore. They already signed Morata to replace him. So they don't care what happens to him as long as they get a fee for him, as long as they get the money they want. I think Atletico and Chelsea should just compromise at 40 million, 45 million and call it a day. Like, that is like the easy solution. Yeah. But neither side seems to think that. We're dealing with two very stubborn negotiators here. Neither side is budging. There's still a month in the window. Anything can happen. But at some point, you have to take action. I get why Atletico decided to wait. I get why they felt, and probably still feel, that Costa's value could tank to the point where Chelsea are desperate to sell him. But we haven't seen that yet. And I don't know when or if we're going to see that, and I don't know further if Atletico can take that chance. At some point, you have to make a move for him.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say on Costa is that if he doesn't end up coming, either if he ends up staying at Chelsea or signing for another club and not rejoining Atleti, there will be hell unleashed, because this was supposed to be done by now. This was supposed to be done a long time ago. And yeah, if it turns out that it is this board refusing to pay an extra few million, there will be chaos.
There's going to be a revolt, absolutely, and I will stand with the Frente Day and the supporters on this one, because there will be a revolt if Costa does not sign, because it has been so clear that Atletico are all he wants, and he's all that Simeone wants. And if the board does not want to pay an extra 5-10 million to bring him back, then they deserve the hell they're going to get. Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely, and you're right on that. But in the meantime, Costa is still chilling in Brazil, just riding on a jet ski with his dog, like the boss he is.
Yeah, it's not a bad life to live, is it?
No, and he gets to train on the beach and ride a jet ski with his dog and throw street parties. Like, I wish I were him right now. He's like, yeah, no responsibilities in the world, but just waiting for his former club and his current club to get their acts together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice life, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jack, I think that'll do it.
Perfect.
You made it. Awesome. Well,
yeah,
thank you for coming on, man. Anything you want to plug before I get to the sign-off message?
Just the Sound of La Liga podcast. It's a podcast similar to the Culture Hour chat, but it just covers Spanish football kind of as a whole, and more generally. La Liga Times, it's a new website that's starting up by Sean Walker, who's also featured on this podcast.
He's a friend of the pod.
That's just going to be a new site that covers all the teams in La Liga. I myself will be covering Getafe, so if you want to read some good stuff on some of Madrid's lesser known players and come along.
For all your Emiliano Velasquez needs, we have Jack here to address them.
Absolutely.
All right, so you can follow Jack on Twitter at Jack_Benson1. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thank you so much for listening, as ever, to Colts Narrow Chat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.